I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, folks. It's the first day of the second weekend of Jazz Fest for the locals today. Hopefully the weather holds up throughout the weekend. It was a great weekend last weekend. Hopefully another successful weekend. 4 days left of Jazz Fest, starting in an hour. So look forward to that. Hope you get out there as well. Got a great show lined up for you today. Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis from Defense Priorities. He's a senior fellow there. We'll get an update on the latest with the Russian-Ukraine war. In the 11 o'clock hour, Dr. Joe Cantor, state health officer for the state of Louisiana, our weekly coronavirus update. A lot of information coming out now about different things, long-haul COVID and others. We'll talk about all of that. And new numbers issued by the World Health Organization as to the number of deaths that have been reported as well. And we'll talk about that as well. Inflation is much too high, according to the Fed chief, Don Powell. And we understand the hardship it is causing, and we're moving expeditiously to bring it back down, he said. We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability. Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst, joins us. Greg, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you again, Noel. Thanks so much for having me.
Greg, big announcements yesterday. The Fed lifted interest rates by 50 basis points, half point. Biggest hike since 2000.
Yeah, first time, as you noted, in 22 years, they've raised rates by more than a quarter percentage point. First time in 16 years that they've raised rates at successive meetings. And neither one of those is going to end anytime soon. They're going to keep raising rates, and we're going to get more of these half-point rate hikes. One of the other things that Powell said yesterday was that half-point rate hikes are, you know, more or less where the committee is leaning for each of the next two meetings as well. So, you know, interest rates going up in a hurry. And, you know, a lot of that because the Fed is behind the curve on inflation, and they're just not going to catch up by taking those quarter point baby steps. So it's time to be a little bit more aggressive.
Greg, I had to chuckle. Wall Street reacted positively yesterday because they kind of moved the line to three quarters of a percent interest. There was actually some nervousness that that may be the call. And I recall maybe three, four, five, 6 weeks ago, they were worried about the 50 basis point increase. So it's kind of a moving target for all folks, right?
Yeah, and a lot of that's just because inflation just continues to accelerate. You know, three quarters of a point was really sort of the betting favorite in futures markets for the next meeting. And what Powell did yesterday was basically take that off the table. And so you saw a very positive reaction from markets. You know, another factor I think comes into play a little bit was, you know, the Federal Reserve is going to run off their balance sheet, but they're starting out at a slower pace. And they're going to kind of ramp up to the pace that was expected. So, you know, they're kind of wading into the pool rather than doing the old cannonball into the deep end. And so I think, you know, both of those, you know, Fed maybe not being as aggressive as had initially been feared. You know, keep in mind, the market loves low rates. And so the idea that rates are going up has spawned a lot of volatility, as we've seen this year. So anytime it's like, oh, it's not going to be as bad as we thought, yay. That was kind of the response you saw yesterday. Now that people have had a chance to sleep on it, you know, markets react a little bit different today because it's sort of like, oh, yeah, that's right. Rates are still going to go up, aren't they?
Greg, the Fed is trying to do something it has never done before, right? I mean, move this inflation rate by 4 percentage points and not go into a recession. Add to that the Ukrainian war, the supply chain disruptions as a result of the lockdown throughout China. That's an unknown. No one knows what's going to happen next there. In fact, a lot of people have been very surprised by what has happened there. So they have a lot of things that are they have little or no control over that I think are just going to continue to exacerbate this situation, right?
Yes, and very, you know, well summarized on your part in terms of the fact that there are a lot of forces that are outside their control. I mean, we, you know, we can talk all day about, you know, what the Fed is doing in terms of raising interest rates with the goal of slowing the economy, reducing demand, and then that bringing inflation down. But that action by the Fed is not likely to be the panacea that it has been in past cycles, because a great deal of this inflation we're dealing with now is rooted on the supply side, which the Fed cannot fix. So, yeah, I think it just sort of increases the risks. You know, as you said, it's likely to exacerbate the situation going forward. It has certainly exacerbated the situation to this point. You know, we think back to last year, the Fed was insistent that inflation was, you know, to use their term, transitory, and that the supply chain was going to fix itself and everything was, you know, going to be, you know, we were all going to live happily ever after. And, you know, by the end of the year, they kind of realized that wasn't the case.
You know, we're going to be talking to Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis from Defense Priorities later in the show. And it occurred to me as I was doing research for that interview, we haven't had much movement over there in the Russian-Ukrainian war. It's kind of been almost a stalemate, which kind of, I think, lends itself to this may go on for quite a while. Folks were thinking that the Russians may make an assault and gain some ground. They have not. The only reason I bring that up is that this contributes to the supply chain disruption in a huge way on so many different fronts.
Yeah, particularly regarding commodities, energy, and in the case of Ukraine, particularly food. So a lot of food commodities, wheat and grains, you know, in particular, Ukraine is one of the world's major exporters on those. So even if the U.S. doesn't necessarily import, you know, that from Ukraine, a lot of other parts of the world do. And so in the absence of that, you've got, you know, a lack of supply to meet the demand. And as we've seen with so many other things, that pushes prices up. So a lot of the inflation pressures we've seen on food items don't appear as if they're going to let up when you certainly when you look at it through that lens.
So the runoff by the Fed, as well as this increase of a half point, what does that actually mean? Are some of this was it expected and already baked into what we're seeing with home mortgage rates, I think, are somewhere just north of 5%. You know, is that something that we see the 10-year Treasury move, or has that already been baked in?
Yeah, the long-term rates, that 10-year Treasury, fixed mortgage rates, they tend to move well in advance. They don't move in response to what the Fed does as much as they price it in ahead of time. And true to form, we've seen mortgage rates jump substantially since the beginning of the year, 2 full percentage points, to the point where they're now above 5%. We started the year in the low threes, you know, even though the Fed is just sort of just now ramping up the raising of interest rates. You've seen mortgage rates move well in advance. And that's certainly going to dent demand. It's going to price out a lot of would-be home buyers. But doesn't exactly change it to a buyer's market, just given the low supply of homes available for sale and the fact that more than a quarter, almost 30% of transactions are taking place in cash. So there's a large contingent of buyers that are not interest rate sensitive. And so I think, you know, a lot of that really kind of keeps the housing market aloft for sure.
As the pandemic seems to be cooling in at least here domestically, obviously we think about international travel, international trade and stuff. What are other central banks? Do they react to what we do here typically, and how does that impact what actually happens here domestically?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about inflation, and inflation's really the hub on the wheel that's going to be dictating just what the Fed does and how aggressive the Fed needs to be with regard to policy to get inflation under control. But that is not just a U.S. phenomenon. That is one that is very global in scope. And so central banks around the world are really kind of fighting the same fight in terms of raising interest rates. So yesterday the Fed raised rates, but yesterday so did the Bank of India. And last week, the Bank of Canada raised rates. We've seen the Bank of Australia and the Bank of New Zealand raise rates. The Bank of England is going to raise rates probably next week. So, you know, this is something that's going on around the globe, that interest rates are too low, that they need to come up. It's time to pump the brakes on the economy, if not slow it outright, in an effort to reduce demand and you know, take the edge off inflation. But, you know, that the supply chain is a factor in all those areas as well. So, you know, central banks are, they're all singing from the same hymn book, but, not likely to be able to solve the problem single-handedly without some help from a healing supply chain.
Dollar, where does it stand relative to other countries?
Dollar has been extremely strong, and a lot of that is we've got a much stronger pace of economic growth, a much lower level of unemployment, pretty robust consumer spending, and interest rates are going up. That tends to draw a lot of capital from overseas. So the dollar has been very, very strong, and not just against emerging market currencies. You know, against major developed market currencies, the euro, the Japanese yen, dollar very, very strong on both of those fronts as well. And of course, the euro and the Japanese yen, those are central banks that are not yet raising interest rates. And so I think that, when you look, that disparity that we've seen is, something that, has caused the dollar to strengthen quite a bit in recent months. And, that may continue for a bit.
We're always looking for the silver lining. The Biden administration keeps promoting the notion relative to job reports and alike. But when we compare that to the uncertainties and the things that we don't control that you and I have talked about already just now, how does it fare? Does it balance well?
Well, there's always uncertainties, right? When in our lifetimes have we ever been able to sit back, prop our feet up on the desk and say, well, hey, everything is just hunky-dory everywhere. There's nothing to worry about, right?
Never. Happened
yet. Yeah, exactly. I'm still waiting. but we have unemployment that's at one of the lowest levels in 50 years. We have 1.9 job openings for every unemployed person. We are seeing wages increase at a pace that we haven't seen in decades. And that's why inflation's got to come down, because even with that strong growth in wages, it's being outstripped by price increases. You bring inflation down, and then all of a sudden you've got, people are working, they're making more money, and now they've got more spending power. So, those are really the ingredients of a sustainable economic expansion that can go on for some period of time. The key is you got to bring inflation down without, completely upending the positives that we see in the labor market right now. And that's the challenge the Fed faces.
So obviously everyone focuses immediately when they look at these indicators, and you guys have as well, likelihood of this slippery slope leading to recession and avoiding same. History tends to repeat itself. You're studying history all the time. Best of my recollection, where we find ourselves today, I don't think it's ever been done to avoid a recession, has it?
Yeah, it's the odds were pretty slim to begin with. A recession may end up being the price we have to pay in order to put this inflation genie back in the bottle. But that's not necessarily the worst case scenario. I think the worst case scenario is, if you don't get inflation, you don't get the inflation genie back in the bottle. If inflation becomes an entrenched, sustained problem, that hurts everybody. It particularly hurts lower income households the most. So there's some urgency to really kind of put the inflation issue to bed. with the idea that we're not going to have the same strong labor market down the road that we do now, and that's sort of where those recession fears come from. But the battle that has to be fought is getting inflation under control, because if that doesn't happen, then nobody wins. Recessions aren't fun, but they are a normal part of the cycle, and we get through them, and the economies rebound, and we've got a lot of strong underpinnings. So recession is not guaranteed. Everybody's talking about it, but it's by no means guaranteed.
But it's sounding more and more. Recession sounds more and more like that nasty, awful tasting cough syrup that you have to take before your cough gets better, right?
Yeah, but you'd rather take the syrup and get rid of the cough, right?
Exactly.
So, that's a good way of putting it. I think we're better off taking our medicine. It's not going to be a whole lot of fun.
No, absolutely. Greg, as always, truly appreciate your time and your insight. Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's Chief Financial Analyst. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Noel. You as well.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folks, you'll recall on the morning of July 17, 2016, a call came over the radio, shots fired, officer down. Two deputies raced to the Be Quick convenience store on Airline Highway in Baton Rouge, where a lone gunman from Missouri, 29-year-old Gavin Eugene Long, was spotted. Deputy Nick Tuliak spotted the gunman's car, a rented Chevy Malibu with Missouri tags, was running the plates when Long opened fire on him with an assault weapon. One round struck Deputy Tuliak in the stomach, and a second hit him in the head, shattering his skull and damaging his brain, and a third bullet struck Tuliak in the shoulder. In that attack, three other deputies died: Deputy Brad Garofola, Baton Rouge policeman Montrell Jackson, and Matthew Gerald. Long died there too, cut down in a hail of gunfire, according to NOLA.com. And it ignited a nationwide protest about police brutality. Well, it was announced today that Deputy Nick Tuliak has succumbed to his injuries that he received in that incident, wounded 6 years ago in that ambush. And our thoughts and prayers go out to the family, to Sheriff Gautreaux as well. I remember visiting with the sheriff in the aftermath of that. I remember attending the funerals of the other officers. It's these moments in time where you understand the delicate balance that there is in an ordered and structured society and what we call upon our officers to do that run to the danger, giving of themselves, and making incredible sacrifices. To Nick's son, Gage, in Trenton, your dad was a hero, is a hero. And he's up there with a lot of other heroes. And I just think it's important that we remember the sacrifice that Deputy Touillet gave for nearly two decades as an East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's deputy. So if you could keep the Touillet family in your prayers today, that would be nice, and forever, quite frankly, and all of our officers that have made the ultimate sacrifice. So we hadn't had an opportunity this week to talk about the Orleans Parish Crime Bulletin that's put out by the Metropolitan Crime Commission every week. Homicides are reported at 98 at the beginning of, as of Tuesday. That is a significant increase over last year, 51%. At this point in time last year, we had 65. We're at 98 now. We know we've had some since then. So there's no doubt that we'll breach 100 during this week for sure. This is a trend that's not good. Shootings are actually down 1%, 162 thus far this year, as opposed to 164 last year. Carjackings are up still 28%, 119 as of right now, as opposed to 93 last year. Armed robberies, 181, as opposed to 148 for the same period of time. They're up 22% over last year. The mayor, as a result of the shooting on Magazine Street the other day, where 50 rounds shot in a heavily trafficked area by both locals and tourists, has come out and talked about that the trends are moving in a positive direction. I'm not exactly sure that a week makes a trend, but the fact of the matter is that we still have a number of very dangerous ingredients that are going on here, separate and apart from just the crime on the streets. We've got the debacle with the criminal justice, juvenile justice intervention center that we're trying to get to the bottom of, and we wonder why the place is in a mess when the leader of the organization, it turns out, is never there. Who's mining the store? Who's mining the ship? What's going on? This is low-hanging fruit. Then we have the Fox News report of the Public Integrity Bureau. These are the folks that are watching the police. We've been dealing with this detail situation in the city of New Orleans going way back. It was one of the issues that stimulated the consent decree that we couldn't get our hands around the management of this thing. And now we find out that the Public Integrity Bureau and folks that are working within that organization, they were doing the same thing. They were conducting investigations of other officers where allegations were made of abuse, ghosting, this, that, or otherwise. And then we find out the ones conducting the investigation are doing the same thing. Then we find out that the sanction, it was a short suspension. They were allowed to go back to working these details. And all the while, the backdrop is everyone in the community is asking for accountability relative to criminals and that we set appropriate bonds, that we set and issue appropriate sentences and the like, and we wonder why we find ourselves in the predicament that we find ourselves in today. This is crazy. You could not have scripted this to come out this way. And I understand that the Lee Zurich investigation is continuing, and there's going to be additional information that's headed our way that's not going to be so pretty. Yet again. So this cycle that we're talking about, and I've talked about this before, how hard is this to get your hands around? It doesn't seem like it ought to be that difficult. But for whatever reason, it turns out that it is. And it's completely mystifying to me that we continue to have these issues. So what do we do now? With those that are there to investigate the officers for the same thing, we find out they're engaged in the same activity. We're just about to come out from under the consent decree. Everyone has been very critical of that situation and talked about the effects or impact that has had on this organization. There's been a collective sigh of relief that we're getting near the end. There were some announcements that were made by Judge Susie Morgan the other day. And then we're facing this revelation. This is going to be incredibly interesting to see how this gets resolved. And these things shouldn't be resolved by a one-week suspension. Not now, not ever. You're not going to send the message and the reverberations to this organization or any other organization, for that matter, that's engaged in this kind of shenanigans if they're not going to be held accountable. Yeah, I know some people are probably surprised that Newell Norman is saying this, but it's true. It needs to be said. We need to wake up. If there's an expectation that we will begin to wholeheartedly support the police each and every day as they're facing the challenges that they face out on the streets of this country, there is a bilateral obligation to each other that we do it right. And those of us that have worked long and hard in this business are taken aback when we can't simply just get it right. This is not rocket science. It's not hard. You have an obligation to make sure and ensure that you are doing the proper accounting of your time relative to the public service by virtue of the employee of the NOPD in conjunction with the time that you're working on a private detail. End of the story. There should be collective meetings right now of all of you to have the discussion of how you are making it more difficult for you and others to do this job. It is a travesty. I know that everybody's out there working hard, trying to work and support and raise their family and send their kids to good schools because, unfortunately, we're challenged on so many different fronts. I get it. But by the same token, it's not a legitimate excuse. Your lifestyle has to be tailored to what it is that you're capable of making in the allotted or acceptable hours there that work to not only the benefit of the taxpaying citizens of this city, but to those individuals that are actually paying you money to provide security for them. This is not a game. This is about a reputation. This is about leaving a legacy. Your legacy of what you give to this community. The entity's interest always outweighs the individual. And when I read stories like this, I have to shake my head and wonder if we recognize and realize what we're doing to ourselves. It's time to account to one another and do the right thing. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, folks. We'll go to the talk lines. Aubrey, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff. How are you doing, sir?
Hey. Oh, Aubrey Wallace. Yes, how are you? How's everything, man?
Yeah, fine. How are you doing, Sheriff? And happy Mother's Day to your wife and all women who listen to this broadcast. Sheriff, I just want to say that, you know, it has been very difficult over the years and, to deal with officers and the impressions that African-American got, that there were always those that had that possibility of overexerting himself and abusing that authority. We know that happens. But what has happened over the years now, we've got so now brazen and so bold that we challenge officers for anything and don't have any regards for respect for the law or the command of the officers. We don't follow the commands of the officers no more. So in this incident you were talking about at St. Charles Parish, I've been observing and looking at it, and you see verbal exchange on a number of occasions. Now, what is being brought more about is the video because of the type of confrontation that they had. She ran. You see she paused for a few minutes. She struck at him once or twice. He caught her off balance, and that's what the officers do. They know how, you know the technique. They pushed her. But the momentum cat against the wall, it was just a touch of a push to keep her from being too aggressive towards him. And she fell, hit the wall. But the whole thing was initiated by her interfering and not taking the command from the officers to cease and desist, you know. So she put herself in a position that she was totally aggressive, and she was escalating because she was telling her brother why he was there, say verbal things to the officer. If you look at the record, so but this is all being done around the United States because of progressiveness. It's very difficult for white officers that go out, and they're good officers. They got some that are not, but the majority of them that go out try to do that which is good for the community and overall for all us citizens in the community. They're always confronted with whenever they deal with the hostile type environments of African American that systemic racism stuff come up first. They malign them with race. These guys probably never been tall racist or anything, been good. And it's easy to malign a white officer with racism when it's a one-on-one with black. And that's something hard they have to deal with and digest, their friends, their family, their kids. You know the story, what I'm saying. And but what we need to get back to our community and certainly to the deal with the facts, not all the alleged allegations. Deal with the facts. Let's evolve it and deal with the facts. And surface the truth. And once we get to that level and back to that community and the community with that, we'll have good police laws. But the citizens must get back to having confidence and trust and the people that watch over them all night. And it's disturbing when I see organizations just jump to the aid of the supposed victim and not take a position of listening to the facts before they make all of this wrong about everything else. Let the investigation go forward, and we'll find out what's wrong.
Reverend Wallace, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think, you know, obviously people jump to conclusions before they get all of the facts. And, you know, there's not anything positive gonna come out of trying to interfere with a situation where police are dealing with conflict. The last thing they need are third parties not involved coming in to try and involve themselves in these situations. And as you just so eloquently pointed out, you know, these things sometimes have a tendency to run amok, and what may look like abuse at first blush may not be. I have not looked at the video. I downloaded it yesterday, and I haven't had an opportunity to look at it yet, and I intend to do so. In this situation, but I appreciate your comments nonetheless. I've had the benefit of working with you in the community during the period of time that I was sheriff and before then as well.
Yes, sir.
And not all of these situations are easy, as you well know. We've had those conversations, right? I mean,
yes, sir.
You know, and you know, you got to kind of let the facts come out. Sometimes they don't reveal themselves as quickly as everybody would like it to, but you know, when you have a lot of witnesses, a lot of this, a lot of that, you just got to exercise some patience, and then once it's all out, then criticize away. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What I want to say is one of the things that we need
real quick, Reverend. We only have
we need to
seconds.
Stop these people from going to these. I know you can video. But get right into the pearls of what's, you know, in an area where these things are happening, video. Because sometimes people take that out of context and they don't know what devolved before that. And they just see what's happening right there. So we need to make the legislators get some kind of understanding on how we can prevent this thing from interfering with officers so they could do their
yes,
job.
Sir. Don't
and
mean to be rude, Reverend.
Whatever, but
But I got to get to a break. I apologize. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the news break, we will visit with Dr. Joe Cantor, state health officer for the state of Louisiana. Got a lot of information to talk about. And it is 12 o'clock hour, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis from the Defense Priorities. He's a senior fellow there. We'll get an update as to where we stand in the Russian-Ukrainian war. So stay with us. We will be right back after top of the news break. This is Newell on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.